Welcome to Post Status Draft, the official podcast for Post Status, a website with news and information for WordPress professionals. Today, Joe and I discuss WordPress 4.5 and go into depth about new features. We also talk about the beginning stages of WordPress 4.6. If you enjoy this podcast, you can get a lot more quality news and analysis from the Post Status Club multiple times per week. Check out our current club members, site partners, and join the club on our website at poststatus.com/club. You'll be joining more than 650 wonderful club members, and you'll never miss important WordPress news again. Today, I'd like to feature one of our partners, WP 101. WP 101 delivers a set of WordPress video tutorials right in your client's dashboard via the plugin, freeing your time to do what you do best. They also have a membership site at WP101.com where you can sign up for great courses, including a 22-part course on WooCommerce that they just released and you should definitely check out. Go to WP101.com for more information, and thank you to WP101 for being a Post Status partner. And here's our show. Hey, everybody. I'm Brian, and I'm the editor of Post Status.
And I'm Joe, a co-founder and the CTO of HumorMade. And welcome to the Post Status Draft podcast. Woo-hoo. This week, we'll be doing... what will we be doing?
Today?
we're going to be discussing the new released WordPress 4.5, titled Coleman.
Yeah, WordPress 4.5.
Coleman.
Is Coleman. Like the... The camping brand?
Like the camping brand? Yeah. Showing my lack of knowledge for jazz there.
Coleman Hawkins. So it's actually his first name. A saxophonist. I never know anything about the...
Saxophonist.
Is that how you say it?
I believe so.
Oh, okay. Well,
might depend where what country you come from.
Yeah, you're British, so I'll trust you. Mm. I did have a member of Post Status... tell me that me and you really needed to get on the same page in regards to how we pronounce post status.
Do I say status, I guess, do I?
Right. You say it in a way that sounds much better. but I can't bring myself to do that because it would be...
It's like you've changed now. Yeah. You could only have done that if you'd have done that from the beginning.
There's nothing worse than an American with a fake British accent. And status is definitely a non-American pronunciation.
You'll just have to let me always say the brand name, you know.
Yeah, I just can never say the name of my website again.
Oh well.
Yeah. So WordPress 4.5 was released by Mike Schroeder, who is better known as Shredder in WordPress development world. And there's a deputy release lead. That was Adam Silverstein. And Bell Choice,
oh, cool.
This is the first time I've seen that I know of a release design lead identified in the like big release post, and Bell Choice got props for that. So that was cool.
Fantastic.
Initially, it was released, they said 277 total contributors, and then I think it got corrected to 297. So I guess 20 people got lost somewhere.
Yeah, that I think that happens with the props messages and stuff. It's happened to me before.
Yeah,
not
you
sore
got,
about that.
You got lost.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, good amount of people.
Yeah.
Is that what, do you know what that is up from?
Oh, I was one of the people that got lost. I see my name in there now.
What did you do? Do you remember?
I think it was at WordCamp US.
I'm wondering if it was API related.
No, I don't think so. I think it was a ticket that Boone helped me with at WordCamp US.
Nice.
It's because it wouldn't have gone in until 4.5. I can't even remember what the ticket was. It was something that I was like, this is pretty small. And then Boone was like, oh God, this got bigger. I need to find it. But yeah, it was...
My major contribution to 4.5, which I feel bad about, was the very late release candidate to... big commit for the REST API slashing data. So I feel kind of guilty for this whole release.
A big bug.
That's a really big bug. Really late in the cycle.
Awesome.
So.
That's okay.
So you did the 4, you did a 4.5 post, did you? On post status?
Yeah, that's the one I'm using as my basis for this conversation.
Okay. Well... I'll be fresh to it because I haven't read it. So, right.
Oh, I found my thing that was fixed. It was the WP dropdown users. When you're deleting a user, it shows the display name. So my example was trying to delete a duplicate account for someone like named Tom,
I didn't know which one it is.
And my website has like 7 Toms. So you have to like guess which Tom you're deleting when you're deleting the user.
That is what you did. You just 1 in 7. I'll give it a go. Yeah.
So I did an initial patch on it, and then Boone made it significantly better and helped walk me through some unit testing lessons, which was really cool. So props to Boone for always being awesome.
There we go.
Also, do you know we pronounced Boone's name completely incorrectly in a podcast? Remember,
give me the correct.
We argued about
it. I'm going to see because I still think I might be right. So if you tell me, then we'll see.
He linked me to a blog post where he clarified it for everybody, and it's actually Gurgis. So
I feel like I was closest.
You were closer because you did the hard G, but it's Gurgis.
Yeah,
like Furkis.
Gurgis. Like what?
Like fur kiss. Like in terms of...
Hold on, you just said another word that I don't...
You don't know the words fur and kiss?
Oh, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because when he does the like
fur kiss.
This is the pronunciation version. It's like, I still am confused.
Okay. Yeah, because it doesn't really sound like anything else still.
Right. So it's Gurgis. And he has a blog post where he explained it. So we'll put it in the show notes so other people can know how to pronounce Boone's name. And you should know how to pronounce Boone's name. It looks like
Should I?
It looks like George's to me. Everybody should, not just you.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because Boone's special.
I knew it was something to do with the hard G, but I didn't realize that it wasn't the O there. Yeah. Anyway.
All right, so WordPress 4.5.
Yeah. What stood out for you? What's the number one thing?
So my personal number one by far is the additional editing shortcuts that were created. So like the text patterns is I think the way we're defining them.
Okay.
So now you can do an asterisk, for example, and it'll automatically turn it into a bullet item. And you can do back ticks and it'll automatically convert it to code.
Yeah, I like that one. As you expect.
Yeah, I mean, code tags have always been the most annoying thing to write in WordPress because there's not a tiny MCE button for it.
So you've always got to switch to HTML.
You always have to switch to HTML, and then you have to fully wrap it to do it in HTML. It's just annoying. And if you're just writing like a function name, you know, and if you write like 10 times in one post, it's always been annoying. So,
Can you do 3 backticks for a pre?
I don't know. If not,
maybe we can get that in 4.6.
If not, then we'll have to talk to Ella about that for 4.6 because that would also be helpful. So I was excited about the editing shortcuts. That'll make writing blog posts a little bit faster for me. And then I guess one other thing that's probably quite visible is the custom logo feature.
Explain that to me because I don't think I really understand what it's for.
It's literally for putting a logo in your theme. So themes can support utilizing custom logos from, like, the user can set it in the customizer.
Okay, so it's just kind of like a predefined customizer field, I guess.
So if somebody does add theme support custom logo, that's the way to enable this, then there's a new field under site identity that goes along with site title and tagline, and you can upload a logo and you can crop it, and if depending on how the theme implements it, then it'll pop up in the header. It seems like the implementation I've seen so far also includes the site title and tagline, which looks horrendous to me.
You have your logo and the and the site title,
it's theme defined. But what's nice about it is now at least you can switch themes, and You don't have to worry about doing your whole logo thing again because the option changes in the theme or whatever. So
yeah, I wonder if your crop probably remains.
I think it's defined from the options. Mm-hmm. And Jetpack's had this feature for a long time, so the code I think started with the Jetpack stuff, and then they iterated kind of on the UI and all that. But it took some lessons from Jetpack and obviously WordPress.com, and WordPress.com, it's been pretty well tested with users, so it's going to be a good thing.
Does it also change the logo on the login page? Did I hear something about that, or have I just made that up?
I think you just made that up, but...
Would that be good?
It's not a bad idea. The only thing that would be pretty weird about that is whether it's a light logo or a dark logo. It's going to pop up on gray.
Forget I mentioned anything to do with design.
What would be cool, in my opinion, is maybe if you were able to set like a primary site background, like if it took this primary background color of the site and utilized that for the color scheme of the login page, that would be nice.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Trying to do automatic things with colors is a tough game.
Yeah. Another user-facing feature, or writing-centric feature, is the link editor.
This is like the inline.
So if you highlight some text and press the chain button, the little link button, then instead of the modal that's always come up where it shows like some recent stuff and you can set your link and you can also search for posts. Now it's an inline tooltip is basically what I call it. It's a tooltip with a little input and you just drop your link in there. And then if you hit the gear on the right side of the tooltip, then it opens up the full modal. But it basically makes it so the most common way to do a link is easy. However, I don't ever use this anymore because there's this relatively little known shortcut in the visual editor, at least, for adding a link that's amazing. And I use it everywhere in WordPress, and I try to use it outside of WordPress, and it screws up my text.
What is it?
You might not even know. So just copy a link to your clipboard and you highlight text in the visual editor and you just press paste, it automatically hyperlinks
if it has a URL in there. Swish. I do actually remember that happening now you say it, but I've never...
Oh, it's glorious because in an average post, I'm linking something every paragraph. So I just go copy the link, I highlight the text I want to be linked and paste it and I'm done. And it's wonderful. Mm. So I rarely see the actual link dialogue anymore. But when you're internally linking or something, then it's nice.
Right. Do you ever do that internally linking thing? I don't think I've ever done it, but I don't really write much, but I don't know. Do you use it?
Or are you doing it externally? Because I reference like some old post I wrote or whatever. So that's the only time I ever use the link dialogue because I'll, search using the little input. And the new inline tooltip thing, it has a live preview of internal link results while you're typing, I think.
That's really a swish.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So another nice little UX change. And honestly, these changes in the editor are probably about as influential of changes as you can have in WordPress because, that's where people spend most of their time.
It's true.
Your average site owner, blogger, I guess, at least, not really developers. Developers don't blog very much, unfortunately.
It's true.
Which brings us to, there's one more UX thing that didn't get a lot of attention, but it's awesome. You can now log in by email.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Email or username works for login, and that's been the type of thing like a lot of people added as a plugin for clients and stuff, but now it's there, which is interesting because email is a changeable entity in WordPress.
Because you can't change user logins, right?
You can't change your username without code, without database stuff. Mm-hmm. But you can now log in with your email, and then I guess if you change your email, you can log in with a new one. So there are some interesting UX stuff to work through, and security people, obviously, I'm sure, you know, people into security theater, at least, thought it was, might've fought back against that a little bit because email addresses are pretty easy to find. But so is the username.
Like, right. Yeah, that's true. I'm wondering, is there any kind of, I don't think it would affect in this case, but is there any, do you have to like verify your email if you're going to change it?
You kind of always had notifications of that type of thing, I think. Right. Anyway, forget
it's
all
a,
that.
It's a handy thing, yeah, because that's something that I would use, because some things I'm Joe, some I'm Joe Hoyle, and some, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, when I'm using other services and it just says, like, here's, what you know, enter your user ID or whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of so crazy that I don't even really understand why user ID was ever a good idea. It's like, why not just use your email?
Right.
No one else ever gets your email address.
So. I like having two, personally, because email addresses can go away.
Maybe.
For instance, like, I had a college email address that was primary for me, and I never really considered, like, what happens.
what happens after college?
When I graduate.
So wait a minute.
I had a few things that just were forever on that college account, and it was a good way to unsubscribe from stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that brings us now to the developer features, which are a few that I thought were interesting. Are you familiar with selective refresh?
I am, in terms of the feature. I haven't actually implemented it in anything, but I've been following Weston's write-ups on it, and it all seems pretty impressive.
It's a boon for the customizer.
Right. Have you used anything that implements it?
Not yet, but I've tested some stuff that Weston's done.
Mm.
But nothing that's like in a production plugin yet. But this is about to hit. This is about to be in a lot of plugins. And some core features too.
Yeah, maybe the core ones will provide a good base to work off to encourage plugins to do it, because I'm not sure at this point how many are jumping on that bandwagon or not.
Mm-hmm.
To implement it.
So it's a little complicated to understand exactly what selective refresh does. So I figured we could do the short version and then maybe dig into it a little bit. I did a pretty thorough description of selective refresh in my 4.5 post, and I was able to do that because I had already done it in a note back when it was announced. So I copy pasted a good bit so people can get a preview of what a note looks like on PostStatus. Hot tip. So this was a feature plugin, and basically what it does is it enables a live change, including server side communication, without refreshing the entire page.
So when you change something in the customizer, they traditionally, to see that change like on the right hand side on your website, then it would have to reload that page, which would be a slow process.
Right.
But this allows it to you change something in the customizer, and then it just pulls back the little bit that is changed from your server and then replaces that in the page.
And importantly, it's the server communication that is the newest part of selective refresh, because you could have used the post message setting in the customizer before.
Right, which is to fake it in JavaScript whilst the server is doing it.
You had to do additional code that was repetitive every time you wanted to do it, if you wanted to hack the post message change to do the server side communication. So selective refresh enables that much more out of the box. But importantly, now you can talk to the server about these changes, but it kind of opens the gates for a lot of other stuff. And specifically, it seems like it's a good gateway towards enabling more sane front-end editing features. So,
yeah, it was definitely getting to the kind of holy grail of just live update your website. And obviously the customizer isn't, it's not front-end editing in the sense of like you just click where you want to edit. It's a hybrid approach of like you're changing the fields on the left and you're seeing the website change right, which I think is actually better in a lot of cases anyway. Yeah. The more this is implemented and supported, then the user that doesn't know anything about this, I think is just going to feel much more natural to them to be able to experiment a lot more with adding and removing things or changing colors and settings and things when it can all just be, you know, much more instantly changed right there. Yeah. Whereas the kind of current approach is still cumbersome with having to wait, you know, 2 or 3 seconds or whatever every change.
Right. A couple of things that Weston described in this post, but it's a little hard to wrap your head around without seeing a demo. And it's around this, what he introduced terms for partials and placements within the customizer. And part of what makes this a nice entry towards front-end editing is actually that you don't need, you know, the customizer is this whole pain that comes out with all these tabs and sections and stuff. And with these partials and the placements on the page, it actually means you can basically pull out customizer functionality to a specific part of the page, and you don't need the whole customizer to utilize that functionality.
Okay, so you are like directly integrating it into the page then, like the editing tool.
Right. So it's like once you say, I don't know, if you want to like edit a widget or something, you don't really need the whole customizer interface. You can pop out just the part for editing the widget, and it can feel much more like a integrated experience, like you're doing it on the main part of the website. So selective refresh will definitely help inform the way core customizer stuff is done in the future. So I could imagine, for instance, like, I don't know, moving around menu items by dragging and dropping them on the front end, you know?
Something
like that could be really cool.
I can definitely see it going in that direction. Like, I'm wondering what the end game is there. Like, is it that we have, like, you know, we still have a separation in terms of the customizer and you're editing in there and it's changing that, or are we going down the, yeah, you can now drag drop stuff around and edit it just on your page? Like, I'm still not convinced. I'm not sure like what the best interface to actually edit your website is. Like, ultimately, a lot of people think that it is just like click and editing it in place. But that has a lot of challenges for, you know, editing contexts that you're not currently looking at or that aren't displayed on your screen or things like that.
Even if it's not exactly in place, I think one of the things that's popular in other content management systems and editors, like if you look at a lot of desktop markdown editors, for instance, or if you, like Ghost does this, is kind of a side-by-side view where you're editing a post and it's not directly there, but you're also seeing the direct result.
Yeah, and so I like that. That feels more robust somehow.
Yeah, and Weston already has a prototype where you can basically do that in the customizer with WordPress, so that it's got this like little, it's almost like the inspector in Chrome. So it kind of pulls up a pane where you're editing the text on the bottom and you're seeing it at the top.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's interesting.
That was definitely interesting. My initial thought was like, oh, that looks awful. But
Weston's not trying to be the user interface designer.
No, exactly. Like, technically speaking, I think, it was very good. Like, I was, yeah, I'm always impressed. Like,
I was just saying, it can help the people that are doing UI and UX stuff, you know, start to think
possible. Exactly. Like, I feel like that guy must put so much time into like the, cause the demo videos he does are amazing. Like he's like one with automatic editing interface for REST API resources. There's like I don't know. Every other week, it seems like he's got a new feature plugin that's doing this amazing thing. I don't know how he does it, but it's really good to see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's doing a lot of customizer stuff at work too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Over XWP, they have some clients that are doing some ridiculous customizer integrations. So I know that's where some of his work is coming from because he gets to double dip. But he also just has this like ridiculous love of all things customizer.
All things customizer.
It's almost like just it's like Weston's department.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
oh God, customizer true. Stuff. What is Weston doing that?
It's good and also bad at the same time. Yeah.
We should. There are definitely good and bad parts. It's almost got the feeling like when Coop rewrote Media.
Right.
And it's like he came up for air and there was a whole new media management tool. And then it took like 2 years for anyone else to learn.
Right. At least Weston's around still to help others out with getting up to speed.
Which is not a knock on Coop.
No, absolutely.
We can move on from selective refresh. I think we give that one all the attention it needs. This one's kind of a nice, I guess, relatively quick win. But I think Joe McGill and a couple other people put in some research efforts on image compression. And WordPress by default compresses images to about 90% quality. And that was changed to 82% based on some research that other people had done, where the difference between 90 and 82% was indiscernible to the human eye, essentially, and also accounted for, on average, about a 25% savings. Additionally, apparently, WordPress was uploading a lot of metadata with photos that wasn't the metadata.
It wasn't stripped on the downsized ones.
No, and it's the WordPress is now removing a lot of this extraneous metadata. However, it's still keeping the stuff that's fun. So like all the EXIF data, XMP.
Color profiles.
Color profiles. Mm-hmm. All that stuff is still there. So photographers that showcase that data on their website can still do that. And it's just the extra crap. So all in all, they're seeing something like 50% cost savings on images, which is an enormous amount considering the scale of WordPress. So that's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
So between that and responsive images, I feel like page weight.
Right. Exactly. Pretty really come down.
Mm-hmm. Another one that's just worth noting, especially to developers, is that core updated libraries for Backbone, jQuery, and a few others. The jQuery one has been interesting because there was a bad, an always incorrect, but didn't break anything syntax that people used in jQuery.
I did read this. Yeah.
And I think it's putting...
it's using a hash as the URL.
Yeah, it's using a hash. It's supposed to be in quotes. Yeah,
it's so bizarre.
It's a weird thing, but if you didn't do it in quotes before, it would work. But with jQuery 1.12, I think it's 1.12 or something.
This would have been for like people trying to target all of their links that are just like blank hash banks that want like on click handlers added to them. So I can understand that it would be a fairly not incredibly rare use case to have done exactly that.
Right. But the implementation, if you were doing it wrong and getting away with it, you don't get away with it anymore. That's probably been the number one support response to WordPress 4.5 is people blaming WordPress for updating a jQuery library. Honestly, that's one of those things that hopefully theme developers could have gotten out for updates, but a lot of people just don't update themes.
Yeah, so no,
it's not a great way around that
it's,
one.
It's sorry it broke for you. You're in a very small minority, and that's just the way that it is.
Yeah. And then Pascal Birchler has a neat 4.5 feature. So he was the lead on OEmbed posts. So where you can drop a URL of a post in WordPress and it has a nice, visual embed view of that post. So like embedding a tweet, you can embed a post in a post.
From a different site.
Yep. So he did that in 4.4. And now, this is what actually makes this most interesting to me. Now themes can have template overrides for the way these are portrayed.
Ooh, that is cool.
Yeah. So it works just like the, template hierarchy stuff that's already in themes. And you just use the embed prefix. So like embed dash, whatever your post type is, for instance. And, you can override the template that's the default. And the reason I like this is because by default, you know, it shows the title, the excerpt, and it shows like the fav icon with the blog name, and it shows the little share icon. And you can change all that stuff now. So there's all sorts of things you can do with this. I mean, you can make it simpler, for instance, for like dropping a profile just in line. So PostStatus has profiles for members or organizations. So if I just want to like drop one in a post, I could customize the output for it and create like a nice themed view of that OEmbed, drop it in a post and be done. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the OEmbed stuff in the wild? Like
I don't think it's being heavily used right now. No.
No, but I think it is a really compelling feature. Like, I see it's being very important. I just don't know how much circulation it's had yet. You know, so people don't really realize.
I don't think it's had a lot. I think where it's most useful actually is sites that decide they want to use it and then use it as part of their editorial strategy, basically.
Yeah, so it already kind of like does what they would have built to have done that.
WP Tavern's doing that some. So like they might drop in a URL for a make post or something, and that way they don't have to describe it because it just pulls the basics of it. And it's an interesting editorial strategy. I mean, I think it's definitely got a place.
Would it fit with the stuff that you write, or does that not really?
No, I could definitely use it for some stuff. Honestly, I haven't done my research well enough to know how it handles it for like RSS, for instance, which could get a little weird if you lose context in a feed. Or also, it might be difficult for me to translate to the email newsletter. So. A lot of people don't ever read the front end on my members only stuff. So it probably wouldn't make sense there. But for public posts or like resources or things like that, I would definitely enjoy doing it that way.
I mean, I think, yeah, it's the same problem for all rich media embeds across the board. As soon as you start thinking about all the other formats, then it's a nightmare.
Yeah. The other thing is, I'm sure you can call these templates by code as well. So, I mean, maybe if you don't want to bother with custom markup, you could do the markup within the embed template and then essentially call, like, what's it, WP get OEmbed or whatever, and grab the permalink and do this straight from templates. So, like, you don't have to style it the same. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, because if you're styled within the OEmbed itself, then you can forego some of that. So, people might use this in their themes or maybe even in plugins. I don't know. I think there's creative ways that it could be utilized that maybe aren't being utilized a whole lot.
Yeah, that's what I feel exactly.
But it's a new feature. This happens.
It's true. Took Ajax Request 6 years to to get utilized. So
let's see. There are a few more features. One that I honestly didn't even mention, just because it makes no sense to me as someone that knows how to resize their browser. but when you're in the customizer, there's now buttons for live responsive previews. So you can click the little desktop icon, tablet icon, mobile icon, and it resizes the view so you can see what your site would look like on those devices.
No, I think that's cool. I don't like resizing my browser when I've got like loads of other tabs open and stuff, like, or if you have like the dev tools open or.
Yeah. I guess it's just me then, because I mean, I resize my browser like every 5 minutes looking at something based on
really?
Like the, yeah, potentially based on like the reading experience.
Wow. The thing is, I guess I'm on an 11-inch MacBook, so I just like always have everything full.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm on a 27-inch monitor.
Okay. Yeah.
So for instance, if like developers are notoriously horrible at typography. So if I'm reading a developer blog post,
it's like a line that's like
the text is completely 40 across words the screen. Long. It's 100% width of the browser window, and yeah, there's like you know 300 characters on one line. So I resize my browser to read stuff and make it a little more readable. I really like smaller line length for reading. So
yeah, no, me too.
Also for video, I resize my browser a good bit. So yeah, things like that. But nevertheless, I've never really understood the whole click a button for this, but I totally get it. Like if I had a client and I wanted the client to see it.
Right.
Totally
yeah. Just tell them to click that. Like, they don't know how wide to make it for an iPhone or something, you know?
Right.
I also think it looks quite good as well. I just think it looks
just like having those buttons there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something like quite app like about it, isn't there? You know, it's kind of makes WordPress look a bit more modern, you know?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
Let's see. There's another one. I haven't done a whole lot of research into this, so maybe you have, but there's a new function called WP Add Inline Script that makes it easier for adding script header and footer dependencies, but for inline code. Have you seen this?
Oh, okay. I don't. I think I read a ticket on it, but I'm not. I'm not confident at all in that. So you have to write your JavaScript in PHP to do that.
Yeah, I guess what it. So the way the example shows it is like, if you want to just slap some inline script, like maybe a one-off thing.
Right, like you want to make some, like mutate some variable that's coming from one of your other scripts so you enqueue it after it and then you can inject it.
So I just did this, I just did a Facebook pixel implementation on PostStatus because I heard Facebook stats are really, really good. So I was thinking maybe this is that type of thing where... I could just pull the direct, you know, the snippet that Facebook gives you for loading a pixel on your website, and I could
paste that into a PHP string.
If for some reason I didn't feel like, you know, rebuilding my scripts. I have no idea exactly why, but
I can understand the situations to want something like that. For like, I'm often torn between. Like, usually what I would do with something like Facebook is put in my functions PHP and hook it on WP head, I think, rather than putting it in my head of PHP. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I'm not a fan of writing one language in the strings of another, so I think that's why I'm, like, generally...
So you don't like React very much, then?
Wow. I'm not going to take that bait, I'm afraid.
I'll just say it.
Technically, the language is not HTML. So.
Technically. It just looks, you know, exactly like HTML.
All right, yeah. Maybe you got me there. I don't know. At least you don't have to write HTML and JavaScript strings, though. That's what I mean. Like, that would be
yeah,
horrible.
Yeah. The example that Dominic used in the post was a Typekit implementation. So, like, adding...
Right.
Making Typekit load async... was his inline snippet that he added. So.
Right, because you enqueue Typekit and then you just have like the one-liner to actually...
Right, so maybe your theme is registering the Typekit script, like the parent theme or something.
Yeah.
And in your plugin or something, you say, hey, make this async.
Mm.
So, I don't know. It seems a little random. I'm sure if I read the track ticket on it, here it is. There's probably like 75 messages about when this is a great idea.
How it's the most important thing to add to WordPress. I'm on a track reading hiatus. I had to take a break.
Yeah, it seems the Typekit async example, and then also something about there's a link to a Paul Irish thing. Okay. Yeah, so there's examples. There's times where I guess it's a good practice, but yeah, seems like a. I don't know. Whatever. It exists. I'm done.
It's one of those things like fleshing out the WordPress API is important. Like, you know,
right.
Every little function that is missing that probably should be there. Like I'm all for just padding it out like that, making sure it has full coverage.
Yeah. So, so that was full coverage. Just a thing. You felt
this,
like
this is, yeah. This is unintentionally
a dig.
Stab on the REST API.
Yeah. Implement incremental full coverage.
Right.
Why wasn't this in WordPress 0.7?
Exactly. I don't know how it got released. Who is responsible for that?
So on that note, let's that's WordPress 4.5. That's Coleman. You know, it's one of these releases where, and I said this when the beta 1 came out in my member newsletter, it's a great iteration on WordPress. A lot of bugs were fixed, a lot of tickets were worked on, a lot of stuff got closed out. You know, it's not the sexiest release that we've ever had in terms of like just big shiny features.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing every now and then in WordPress.
Yeah, you need to be able to, like, especially after 4.4, which had a gigantic amount of stuff in then. I often look at it a little bit like the OS X releases for Mac going a similar, you know, there's a big one and then there's like a couple more in the next years to like stabilize that out and make it all smooth. And, you know, so it needs to be somewhat cyclical like that.
Yep. And there's no rest for the wicked in WordPress land. So within about a day of WordPress 4.5 being released, WordPress 4.6 kicked off. If you use a beta tester plugin or nightly, what are they called?
Nightly, yeah. The beta
bleeding
plugin
edge
does
stuff.
Nightly, yeah.
Nightly bloodies. Bloodies trunk. Whatever that plugin calls it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so if you're running Trunk, it's on 4.6 alpha 276, whatever. And
it is relentless, isn't it?
It is relentless. Yeah. Dominic Schilling, who goes by the handle Ocean90 on track and WordPress.org and stuff, he's the 4.6 release lead, and there is already a wish list post on Make WordPress Core. This has gone on for a couple of releases now, and I got a shout out, even though he doesn't even know it. This is my greatest contribution to WordPress that got no props, which was asking Gary Pendergast to add a Make Core blog for MakeWordPress.org great again.
This was you?
Yeah, this was a tweet.
Wow,
that
I didn't know that came from you.
This was a tweet again I did that said, I tweeted Make WordPress great again. After probably being mad about something. And then my next one was to Gary Pendergast. And I said, come on, Gary, we need the core blog, make.wordpress.org/great again. And he messaged me back and he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And it's already there. And if you click on it, it goes to the nightly downloads for WordPress. So it's not a make blog, but it's still a great URL. So, yeah, I got no origination props for this, but it's all over the place now. So my greatest
unsung claim to fame.
Yeah, and now I just took it, so I can't complain anymore.
You've just cashed in on all that good work.
Yeah, give me all the praise. So let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor this week, which is WP 101. As always on PostStatus, we like to feature PostStatus partners. You can see all PostStatus partners at poststatus.com/partners. And this week, I want to talk a little bit about WP101, which is an incredible resource for education. Great place to send new users. If you happen to be listening to this and you are a new user, then go to WP101.com and you can see their membership site. They have videos for learning the basics of WordPress. It's a great place to send clients as well. You get introductions to kind of all the basics of WordPress, just learning the admin, learning how to write a post, a page, all that kind of stuff. But they have multiple courses. So there's like a WordPress 201 course, for instance, which is for slightly more advanced users that goes into custom fields and permalinks and revisions and things like that. And then they just came out with a new course that's really exciting that I thought I would kind of focus this one on, which is on WooCommerce. So Daniel Espinoza partnered with Sean Hesketh, who owns WP101. And Daniel's a WooCommerce expert. And they did a 22-part course on an introduction to WooCommerce. And it's kind of all-encompassing from what is WooCommerce and getting it installed to like doing product settings, tax settings, shipping, accounts, emails, catalog stuff, variable products. Having put together a whole bunch of stores, this is super useful. So great place to send your e-commerce clients to get them familiar with their store or to learn more about WooCommerce yourself. If you want to become a member of WP101, then you can go to WP101.com and do that. And then the other cool feature of WP101 is they have the WP101 plugin, which is WP101plugin.com. And you can actually embed WP101 videos in the dashboard of websites by installing their plugin. And then your clients can review these videos while they are navigating and learning about WordPress, so they can have that resource right there. So thank you to WP101 for being a sponsor of PostStatus, and please go check out WP101.com. So there's a wish list post, and we have just one or two minutes to go over a couple of things that seem to be rising to the top.
Is there much recurring suggestions?
There's a couple of things. One of the ones that I think has first of all, the REST API and the Fields API are not in here a lot, but it's kind of because it's fully saturated recommendations for core. So those aren't in here much, but they're definitely it should be top on most people's lists in terms of things people would like to see. Beyond that, though, one that's got a lot of plus ones and thumbs ups and stuff is giving a strong focus to HTTPS stuff again, and I guess kind of wrapping up a lot of work that was really done late last year and went into, I guess 4.4 and some 4.5, but better supporting some of the Let's Encrypt style goals and, fully doing HTTPS stuff. There's apparently a number of tickets with regards to HTTPS. So that one's got a lot of support.
That's valuable. We talked about HTTPS last year a lot, but it seems to be kind of a snowball is getting going now, I think. And it would be nice for WordPress to have a major kind of part of that.
Yeah, it'd be really neat. Another one that's got momentum on here is the user experience for setting your homepage to be a static page instead of the posts archive. MailChoice link to a ticket 16379 for reference, where that conversation is happening. Been going on for a while.
I was going to say that's a oldish ticket.
Yeah, but maybe it'll get done. Mel also made another good recommendation, which was what she calls a media widget, or basically adding images or videos into a widget is a huge pain in the butt right now in WordPress. So adding either some kind of media dialogue to a text widget or having a custom widget for adding an image to a sidebar
Would this be like a specific widget just to add an image, or would it be like
any type of media? So like a video, okay, or audio even. But basically right now it's just so annoying because every website has like a about widget or something, and it's got a picture with a little text snippet or links off to something.
Yeah.
And right now there's not a core widget that really handles that, which is just kind of...
But I was wondering maybe instead if like any text field in widgets could automatically have like a little add media button or something, like to insert the HTML. That might be kind of sucky, but often you want to insert a text widget that has a link around it and like whatever else. You know?
And that's where the discussion kind of stalled last time this was going to be a thing. Okay.
People like me. Making it more complicated.
But it's true though, because, you know, anytime you do this, you want to add stuff to it. You might want to add a call to action button below it, you know, all sorts of stuff. Nevertheless, I think at the end of the ticket that's listed there, the last time it was actively discussed, Mel was basically like, maybe we should just put a media button in the text widget.
Mm.
Even if it's not fully a WYSIWYG editor within the text widget, although maybe that's a good idea too.
Well, on that, I was a big fan of Weston's proposal to move widgets to custom post types, and that would potentially make that easier.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe so. It's a good idea. And then, because this is my podcast and I can do what I want, I made...
Well, what's coming up here? You've worried me.
I made a recommendation, and I would love to see custom post statuses.
Oh, this is such a difficult...
I know. So in the news lately, Edit Flow has been catching some crap for being...
In our company chat room as well, actually. Were you part of that? I don't know. Is that a coincidence?
I'm hacked into your company chat, just so you know.
Tapping into the wire.
Yep. So... that's a feature within Edit Flow that a lot of people like, because you can create a status like editorial statuses, you know, like needs review or the pending review is
probably not that one. Yeah.
One of the default ones.
Reviewing.
Right.
Yeah.
Point being, there are things that people like to set custom statuses for, and Edit Flow is a little abandoned, and it's just one feature of that plugin anyway.
I mean, it's definitely...
It'd be a great feature in WordPress to be able to extend status.
It really would, yeah. Like there's definite need for it. It's just working out around what actually like semantically are different statuses, and like what does it mean for, you know, a status to be viewable or public? Because you could technically have like multiple statuses are private, but multiple are public, and I don't know. Just working out all of those things, I think, is where this usually stalls.
Yeah, definitely. And so that would be great, and it'd be great publicity for Post Status, the website.
think of the Google search traffic for that. Come on, you got to get something for that.
Hey, I return number one for searching Post Status now. So yeah,
one word or two.
Both, I think.
Oh, wow.
That's
pretty good.
Another one that I requested was native multi-author support. I feel like this is pretty common in WordPress. And I feel like it'd be more common if it was actually in core, if that makes sense. But be able to assign multiple authors to one piece of content would be nice.
Oh, yeah. The problem with that is... like, would you still have a primary author?
The canonical author?
Yeah, if you want to say it that way.
yeah, I understand there's issues with it. I'm just saying it'd be nice.
Yeah, no, it would. That's co-authors plus. Is it co-authors?
I've never had luck with that plugin. The VIP.
No, it's not great.
John James Jacoby had another good recommendation while we're on making things that like to be singular and static, plural and dynamic, which these last two features are. He also talked about better supporting role groups. So like a user interface for enabling multiple roles per user. Core supports this, but there's not a user interface for it.
Right. And I presume you're going to screw stuff up if you programmatically set somebody's roles twice or to two things and then you update through the UI. It's probably going to revert or something.
It's complicated. I've done this. For instance, I can have someone can sign up for PostStatus and they're a customer. And then they might have already been an author, like if they had a guest post or something. Mm-hmm. And WooCommerce and subscriptions natively figures that out and says this person is a author and a customer.
Okay.
However, if then I say, hey, I'm going to make you an editor. Yeah. Then I go and change it, and it just like cleans the slate from that. So then it shows them as an editor. In my case, that doesn't actually screw anything up because the customer permissions are minimal. It's just basically read.
Okay, so you've actually got all of those permissions and above on the editor.
Yeah, on the editor role. But if you have a role that's like, I don't know, like a group manager, and there's like custom role permission
custom
for group managers.
Yeah.
Then if I go and make that change and the UI doesn't have the ability to keep them as a group manager and then also make them, say, an author or something, then I would assume that it would stomp on the previous permissions.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure it would, because you wouldn't want it to not remove them, because if you were trying to downgrade somebody, you wouldn't expect.
Yep. So that would be I think that'd be a really cool user.
Yeah, but see, that seems like it shouldn't be that difficult.
That's what they all say. you know where I guess it would probably halt is trying to figure out what multi-select
libraries use.
Because I don't think select 2 or any of those.
Didn't that ever get
still.
In it? I thought Helen wrote like a wrapper for it and that was going to go in, but
there was an accessibility issues that got stuck with that. And I guess the wrapper maybe couldn't handle all the accessibility fixes, or maybe the library just doesn't care. I don't know. Yeah. Part of me just thinks maybe WordPress should just fork an one of these form field library things, because there's so many things where WordPress would benefit from
definitely.
Accessible multi-select.
Or even select, for that matter. Like I'm thinking like the authors drop down or something on an edit post if you've got 10,000 authors.
Or tags that don't like require guessing by typing.
Exactly.
All sorts of things would benefit from that. So maybe that should be our 4.6 feature. Write a library. A whole new library.
What do you mean
copy
by our
functionality that's been a dozen times?
Are we going to build this feature or?
Yeah, completely build it from the ground up. Don't fork chosen or select to or anything. Those are some of the things that are on the wish list post. This doesn't mean at all that any of this will be implemented, but it's what's out there.
We can only speculate at this point.
Yep. People definitely have a few days, though, to go and have their voices heard. One thing that drives me crazy about these posts is that they're all in these massive threaded comment lists. So filtering through them is a miserable experience. So PostStatus members, you're welcome. I'm going to do this for you. And what would be really nice is if we had comment reactions, like Slack-style reactions on comments on the Make WordPress P2s. So there's another feature request for Gary.
There's a feature plugin for that.
Yeah, that's what I actually went looking for the feature plugin. I couldn't find the official one, but I found some pretty atrocious looking ones in the WordPress repository.
Ryan also wrote his own one a couple of weeks ago, but I don't think we've open sourced it yet.
You know, this surprises me in no way at all.
Yeah.
And we needed to say Ryan McHugh's name in the podcast.
That's true.
Or he would have a hissy fit.
He'd have quit listening, so.
I hope he stuck with us long enough. So, yep.
Yeah.
that's WordPress 4.5 and the start of WordPress 4.6. People can get involved at make.wordpress.org/core. And also, if you don't get in the WordPress Slack chat, that's a fun place to check out every now and then. Chat.wordpress.org. And obviously, people that join Post Status are going to be in the know because I'm going to send you newsletters, so you should join. There's my pitch.
There we What's go. Your,
I, oh, I've Joe.
Got nothing that good.
Yes, you do. We're terrible.
Oh, I do? What have
yeah.
we got?
I don't know if you remember, but we're co-organizing a conference together. Probably could have talked about that. Siobhan's going to get mad.
It should have been the title of this episode. Maybe we can still do that. A Day of Rest Boston was announced this week, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
So we announced it on 3 blogs, and we have 4 domains.
It's true, actually. I read so many different posts about this thing.
So it's pretty
This is not to be confused with a Week of Rest, which was the previous event. That's why I didn't think about it, because we'd already done one plug for a different event.
So a Week of Rest is going to be in the UK. It's going to be a boot camp. It's going to be different. This is a Day of Rest, which we did in London, and I was a media partner for that one. But since we're on my side of the pond now,
you're full partner.
I got promoted. so I'm a co-organizer now. And so basically, if people want to sponsor, they should talk to me. Or if they want a party. So, sponsorships and the after party are my primary duties.
Okay, that's good.
As well as media stuff.
You've got all the schmoozing activities.
I've got the schmoozing activities. So you can email Brian at postas.com if you would like to schmooze.
Yeah. And when is it?
It's October 28th is the talks day, so like the conference day.
Mm-hmm.
However, the change from London is that instead of a hack day working on the REST API, there's going to be 2 workshop days, one before and one after. And it's going to be for actually using the REST API in real life on production websites. The one the day before the conference on the 27th is going to be for more entry level, so maybe building your first REST API application. Mm-hmm. And the one on the day after is more advanced level, so you maybe have already done some REST API applications before, and now you're going to dig into some advanced REST topics, REST-y topics.
I'm trying to think, am I speaking at this workshop thing, or maybe I'm
there's
not?
That's a great segue. There's a survey to find out what people are interested in learning.
Ah, interesting.
Because the itinerary for the workshops isn't fully determined yet. However, Boku is kind of the third leg of this organization team, and Boku's a open source focused JavaScript centric web agency based out of Boston, which is one of the reasons that Boston was a candidate for doing this conference is that we thought it would be a lot of fun if we could partner up with Boku to put on some awesome workshops. So Boku's working with HumanMade and PostStatus, and they are kind of the workshop masters.
Yeah, I'm super excited to work with them. They're a really cool company, so I think build some really cool stuff. So highly recommended their workshops.
Yep. And they, you know, they use WordPress, but they've used it in ways similar to HumanMade, where they're using it as kind of a application base, I guess, kind of the home base for an application. And Cadam White spoke at a Day of Rest in London, and he talked about one of the WordPress REST API projects they did at Boku. And I'll have that video up, I think, next or maybe soon. I'm getting the rest of the videos up so that people can see the talks from last time. And we may have a couple of overlap speakers, but most of the topics are going to be different this time. So
nice.
Going to be a lot of cool stuff. It's going to be a fun conference, and it's in Boston. It's in October. You should totally go. There's going to be a deal where you can actually get a Day of Rest ticket and a PostStatus membership in one purchase.
Nice bit of cross promotion.
Yeah. So what you can do is you can get your company to pay for your ticket to the conference and just, you know, tack on the Postatus membership.
So Smart. Can people buy tickets yet?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, not yet. But what they can do and should do is they can go and sign up for email updates and take the survey. And if you're a company, then you should look at the sponsorship package and email me to figure out some cool ways that we can work together in sponsorship capacity, because we're doing some interesting stuff with the sponsorships, and you should obviously just generally want to give us your money.
No more reason needed.
That's right. It looks like there's some ticket info. I don't know if this is from before or not. So it looks like full ticket prices are kind of announced-ish. They're in the sponsorship
are you worried to say anything in case it actually hasn't? Is that what?
Yeah, I don't know if that's supposed to be there.
Okay.
But it's an accessible conference. It's more expensive than a WordCamp, but it's going to be accessible.
But it's less than a usual commercial conference, I guess.
Right. And the workshops are not going to be like 90 minutes. They're going to be half day or full day. So these are in-depth conferences. I have an idea for something that I would like to see at the conference, at the workshops, but it probably requires you. So I'm not sure if I should say this on air. So we'll talk about it afterwards. But
okay. Maybe we'll report back on that.
It would make coming into the workshop and already being prepared a lot easier. So if I can convince Joe to do it.
There we go. You heard it here.
That's right. So go to adayofrest.hm, which is the new domain. You can also go to Postatus. You can go to HumanMade, and you can go to feelingrestful.com for the same blog posts or similar, blog posts.
Slightly different angles. The the .hm domain is our new vanity TLD.
So, that's right.
Expect
Joe's
to see
real
more
proud
of
about it.
I'm very proud of it. It's until the one tiny little unmanned island decides to, I don't know, take down its
application. Yeah, what is the .hm extension?
It's for, I can't remember exactly what they're called, but it's like a very tiny island off the Antarctic, which is owned by Australia, I think. But no one lives there, and there's only like a scientific mission that goes every 6 months or something. Like, so there's nothing
the
there.
The Heard and McDonald Islands.
Yeah, that's it.
Uninhabited islands in the Indian Ocean. Oh, they're Australian.
Yeah.
They're under the control of sovereign Australia. Wow.
So whether they'll carry on working forever, I don't know.
Because every uninhabited island needs a TLD.
Yeah, no, this must have been some lobbying involved here. Probably by the company that's responsible for dishing out the rights to it.
Probably HumanMade.
It might be. I've considered going there and putting a flag, see if we can do a hostile takeover.
Y'all are in all sorts of sketchy stuff like that.
That's just one of many.
So go to dayofrest.hm for that, and go to go to joehoyle.co.uk and laugh at Joe's website, and go to postatus.com/club and sign up.
Laugh at Brian's.
Yeah, laugh at mine too. You can. Plenty of things to laugh at there. So thanks for joining us, and we'll catch y'all next time.
Thank you.